I'm here at the State of Europe Forum in Athens with the convener of this great event, Jeff Fountain, who has assembled more than 100 participants, delegates from 20-plus nations in Europe, from Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Pentecostal streams of Christendom. And I'd like to ask you, Jeff Fountain, what do you see as the main challenge in Europe right now?
Well, I think the main challenge really is, to be honest, is us as Christians. We have very little vision of the future. We're not really asking ourselves, what kind of Europe does God want? So often we've given in to fatalistic and pessimistic perspectives of the future, and we think it's prophecy. But it's always God's will for God's will to be done. If we take the Lord's Prayer seriously, and he said, pray for God's kingdom to come. In other words, for his will to be done in Europe as it is in heaven. Now, if that's what we're to pray for, it must be able to happen. And therefore, we should be working towards God's will being done in Europe. But so many of us just have basically given up on the future. We think, well, yeah, Europe's going to become the beast or something. at least that it's, well, it's not realistic to think about a positive future. And that's a mistake Christians have made very, very often in history. But God's far more interested in the future of Europe than we are.
But Brother Jeff, I've heard you these 2 days give such a sound, such a tone of hope for Europe. What's the reason for your hope?
Now, the hope has to be realistic. It's not being blind to the great crises that are facing us in Europe. We're facing economic crises, religious crises, political, social, environmental crises. But all behind this, as believers, we have hope because there's a God of hope who is fulfilling his purposes in history, and he's looking for faithful and creative minorities who will work with him to bring change. And that's the wonderful thing I've discovered in my study of church history, is that again and again and again, God raises up faithful minorities who turn the tide. Now, even when things are looking really, really bad, we can have hope, because we know that those depressed times are the very kinds of times where the Holy Spirit does something new and unexpected, very often from the fringes. And so we stand on tiptoe looking forward to see what God is going to do next. Because Christianity is all about death and resurrection, all the way through church history. We're not just talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, but death and resurrection of God's purposes in history, that constantly is apostasy, then renewal, apostasy, renewal. And even though many people are very despondent about Europe, it's only half the story when we say, look at the churches are all closing, look at all the Muslims coming to Europe, etc., etc. That's only half the story. Look, for every practicing Muslim coming in as a migrant into the EU, there are 5 church members coming in from Africa, Asia, and Latin America. There are many new churches starting that don't fulfill fit our expectations, therefore they don't turn up in many of the surveys. There are house churches, there are churches and pubs and so on, all sorts of fresh expressions. And actually in our cities it's the migrant churches that in many cases are providing up to 50% or more of the churchgoers. That's very true in London, for example. In London, by the way, the church attendance figures there have started to turn and grow again after many years of decline. So there's always reasons for hope. I'll give you 7 of them. One is the shakings of God. Even the shakings that are going on now, everything that can be shaken that's not based on the kingdom of God will be shaken. That force us to kind of really find out, okay, where are the answers? Secondly, it's been the spiritual hunger that you see evidenced in all sorts of ways. Now, very often, it's in new spirituality. But people are dissatisfied with the emptiness of secularization. Thirdly, it's new prayer movements. Just think of them all over the last 10, 15, 20 years, like 24/7 prayer, Ramadan prayer, the global days of prayer. More people have been united in prayer together around this globe in the last 10 years than ever before in history. Now, is God teasing us, or does he have something up his sleeve? A fourth reason is, indeed, the fresh expressions of church. It's new times. New wineskins are needed. We need to give lots of room to those who are experimenting in new ways. The fifth reason is when we see who God is bringing to Europe, from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America, and they're coming with gifts that we've lost, gifts of spiritual discernment, the gifts of bold, colorful evangelism, gifts of creative worship, and so forth. And we need those gifts back in Europe again. A sixth sign really is the new ecumenism of the heart, and as we've got people here from all the spectrums of the church. Now, there's still a long way to go, but when you see that the Europe really in so many ways has been shaped by two splits, one in the 11th century between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, the other in the 16th century between the Catholic and the Protestant churches. Now, this represents convergence, and in many different ways, God is bringing his people together in an ecumenism of the heart. And the last season, a sign of hope, is that many are beginning to discover the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, not simply the gospel of salvation. It's not just about getting your ticket to heaven. It is about seeing God's kingdom come on earth. Which way does the New Jerusalem come? We are to see God's kingdom come on earth. And that has to do, the gospel has to do with every part of life that's been affected by sin. That includes politics, that includes economics, every sphere of life. And that's why in the State of Europe Forum, we're looking at all these areas to say now, what does the gospel mean for new life in all those areas?
You know, Jeff, you turn me on. You're the real deal. You know, you're a clear apostle in Europe. But looking at you and hearing your New Zealand accent, knowing that you're the former director of the Youth with a Mission for Europe, you defy the odds. I mean, you're more European than anyone, and you're able to walk with the Orthodox and the Catholic bishops and the Protestant and the tongues-talking Pentecostals. So this is a fantastic. Why is this?
I think it's a help to come in from the outside. Because I didn't grow up in Holland and only see things from a Dutch perspective. Actually, I grew up looking at things from a British Empire perspective. And then I married a woman whose father refused to speak English because of what the English did to the Boers in South Africa. And that began to make me realize we need a bigger picture. We need to rise above our denominationalism. We need to rise above our nationalism. We need to see God's perspective. And that's why it's so important to have times like these where we rub shoulders from people from other nations, from other denominations, from other professions, and different generations. And that's what we're trying to do with the State of Europe Forum.
Thank you, Jeff Fountain, for contributing in the Torpcast this time. God bless you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for a tremendous meeting.
Thank you.